Hey, what's up, guys? It's Chris. You know me from Conversations with Chris, and now I'm the host of the Real Estate Podcast. And this podcast is brought to you by my homies over at newtomedia.com. So go check them out. Each and every realtor that I'm looking at speaking with is going to be an amazing conversation. You guys are going to want to be here for this one. Trust me. Tune in. Hit up newtomedia. Be on my show, the Real Estate Podcast. Let's do this thing. Namaste. So I was reading all your information. You sent us obviously the most information I've ever seen in my life. So kudos to you for being prepared. Could probably use somebody like you in my life. I don't read, don't write, don't type. Those things are hard for me. So I was very impressed by all your stuff. So tell me, Justin, about you. Tell me how you started into real estate.
You know, really, since a very young age, I've had a passion. I would call it a knack, if you will, for building businesses, right? I can remember being young and, having a lemonade stand, for example, and offering to mow the lawn, you know, when I grew up a little more, offering to mow the lawn of my neighbors to make some extra cash. I was always trying to find something, a way to hustle. Early in my career, I actually started one of the first eBay shops at the time. So I had, you know, e-commerce background, I've had, you know, manual labor background, you name it. And I think it's really shaped me into who I am. I will say, in terms of the building businesses, it's funny because my parents always used to say that I came from the womb with a briefcase in hand, which I think is kind of funny.
Yeah.
For about 20 plus years now, I've been focused on sales needs for a couple industries, obviously one of them being real estate. And I would say, unique to me, I have both W-2, 1099 and business ownership experience. So that really helps validate my, I'll say, value add to the clients that I work with.
Absolutely. I think that's important to stress to people. They don't realize that, you know, now is the first time really that they're offering employment positions for realtors, you know? So, I mean, most of the time it's been your own business if you're a broker, or mm-hmm. you're on your own as a 1099. And I think, this NAR thing that's going on, which we're not going to talk about because I don't understand any of it anyway, but after 20 years of real estate,
I don't know that anyone understands it.
Nobody does. I've talked to the best brokers in the nation and no one has any idea what's going on. Everyone's like, I don't know. We'll see.
are we still paying 3%? Yes. Okay, good. That's all you really need to know.
Well, potentially. You just don't know. It's sort of a surprise. You find out later after you've negotiated the entire deal. And I'm like, well, but we use that money. Never mind. Whatever. Anyway. Yeah. So you got into retail sales, right? Was that where you started at? Or did you start with, retail and wholesale?
Well, like as far as my first job goes, actually kind of funny to admit, but I worked at a tanning salon when I was 15.
Get out. Palm Beach tan?
Yeah, something like that. I can't remember, but it was funny because I really did so because there was a lot of hot chicks that would roll through there every day.
Do you want to know something even funnier?
What?
I was a district manager of a tanning salon chain in North Carolina and in Virginia. And so over in your stomping ground, Palm Beach Tan, yeah, I went to work there too because there was lots of cute girls and it seemed like an easy job.
Yeah. Right?
Selling sunshine around girls, okay, I'm in.
So easy going. So, yeah, I mean, that was my first job. And then I got into umpiring baseball games for –
okay.
That was like still to this day some of the best money I ever made. You get paid, yeah. It was $50 a game, and the games were less than an hour. So on a per hour basis, that's pretty freaking good.
Are you a baseball player?
I played about every sport and lettered in every sport in high school.
Okay. So baseball is easy. So you were like, yeah, I love this. I'll do this for free.
Yeah.
And they were like, we'll give you $50. And you were like, oh, really? Thank you.
Yeah,
free hot dog at the handstand.
No, but that was fun. But and then after that, I did get into retail. I was a sales associate at a golf store called Supreme Golf, which still exists, but they've totally migrated everything to online-based sales now. But it used to be just a, you know, in-person retail store in Southlake that, I mean, everyone in their name, you know, went there for their golf needs. So that was fun. And then obviously in college, you know, did a couple internships and then ended up starting my career when I graduated from my bachelor's with Cisco Systems. So I was in tech with them and a couple other players for a while. And then I can't remember exactly what it was, but there was something that was like pulling at me to look into real estate. I think maybe it was seeing all the celebrities on these reality shows that were making crazy money, or I don't know what it was, the lifestyle maybe, whatever. but it got me looking into real estate and then ultimately getting my license in California, which I've had for almost 10 years now. And
what part of California were you in?
I was in Orange County. I was in Southern Orange County, mostly in Irvine, but also Costa Mesa, Laguna as well. It was an amazing time out there. Don't get me wrong. I spent about 2 years out.
And the commissions aren't bad, right?
Yeah, they're not bad at all. Yeah, they tend to be some of the highest in the country, other than maybe New York City. You know.
Yeah, I did a interview with a girl from Beverly Hills, and she actually was from the OC, and she I was like, what's a square footage price in Beverly Hills? She's like, well, I do primarily commercial, but she's like, you know, 988 square feet is about 1.2 million. I was like,
988 square feet.
About, okay, but you know, for those shows though, let's be honest, right? Like, it's a never failed. You watch these shows and it's like, yeah, Sheeta owns a butterfly garden and he does part-time painting on the side. Their budget is 2.4 million and they want to be close to the beach and close to the city. And it's like,
like, really?
All right, this is a laundering gig, or these guys are mafia. I'd like to know what realtor can make that happen. Yeah. I'm gonna need to see some pay stubs.
there are them though. I mean, there's plenty of them that are wildly successful. And
yeah. So you started out in Orange County, real estate wise, and then from there, where'd you transition to?
Well, I ended up moving back to Dallas a couple years ago. Mostly to be closer to family, wanting to start a family of my own, although we haven't yet, you know, like at some point in time, and being close to family kind of helps with that. So
sounds like you got to get on it.
Yeah. I moved back, and for the first year, I was mostly working on some consulting projects in tech still. And then again, I'm like, why don't I have my real estate license out here? Right. Yeah. So studied, passed the test, luckily, on the first time. And I started pretty much right away. Obviously, with Epic Realty, which is an amazing agency out there. But prior to them, or my first one out here, was Engel & Volkers, which, if you know about them, they're a pretty luxury brand. Yeah, pretty luxury real estate brand. So that's kind of the last couple of years for me anyway. It's been an amazing ride. I'm really excited, honestly, about, you know, obviously the rest of this year and next year. I think are going to be strong years. I think it's going to require some further expertise on my part, right, to be even more niche to the market and serve the market correctly. But yeah, I'm encouraged. I think there's a lot of good, you know, on the horizon.
How is the market out there in Dallas, Texas? I mean, are you guys like slinging houses, or is it slow, or what's kind of a little bit of both? I mean, is everyone waiting for the determination in 8 days to happen before anyone does a move, or are you slammed?
Yeah, I'd say pretty much slammed. So
nice.
Right now, there is an enormous opportunity in DFW. You think about the corporations and the people that have been, and you've probably heard about it in the news, right? You know, flooding the market, flooding the Dallas or Austin markets and drones. And I think a large part of it is our strong state economy, truthfully, mostly our state income tax policy really makes it a favorable place to do business.
Really? What's the income tax policy out there?
The income tax policy?
Yeah.
There is no state income tax.
That's a good policy.
Yeah. So there's only, I think, 3 states currently that don't have a state income tax, and we're one of them. Okay. So that helps attract a lot of people, especially business owners. Think about sort of the trend of real estate, you know, out here in the DFW Metroplex is outpacing the rest of the country in terms of their home value appreciation. Really? So it's still considered a good time to buy, but I think in the next year, it's going to get super competitive. And I think it's going to really jack up the inflation and the prices of homes out here. Finally. Right.
We can certainly hope the Fed drops the rate so we can get that treasury bond down, so we can get the interest rates down and get some houses moving, you know, because I know I'm over in Florida where 7 of the top 10 most heavily moved to city. We're also like Texas. We're very wealthy over here. We're like our own country, right? And we got Governor DeSantis, which, you know, everybody calls him Daddy DeSantis because he's kept us safe and free for, you know, the last 4 or 5 years. So the 7 of the top 10, even with the hurricanes, back to back hurricanes, but you know, whatever. But yeah, there's a lot of business coming this way too. So I see a lot of growth. I agree with you. I think it's going to be good. It's going to be healthy. But I also think that, you know, there's got to be a leveling out process that's going to happen sometime soon. Don't you? I mean, this has been really up and down and shaky for a while. Like, I mean, it's, you know, I'm happy about it and we're in the game, so we understand it. But like, for most people, buying a home right now is extremely confusing because, I mean, yeah, we're not even sure what's going on.
Right.
So what kind of advice would you give somebody that you haven't spoken to who's never bought a house, which those are my favorite, by the way, because they're the most grateful. They're like, man, I didn't even know I could qualify for a home. I never thought I'd buy a house. And you're like, I got you. You got a 750 credit score with $100,000 a year income for the last 10 years. You're golden.
Yeah, you're good to go.
You're renting? What are you doing? So what would you give that person advice about moving to Dallas? What would you tell them is the most important thing? And are you, you're Dallas, Fort Worth, right? It's all the same thing?
I mean, we call it the DFW Metroplex, Dallas, Fort Worth Metroplex. So it's about the same in size as LA Metroplex, so it's pretty expansive, and Houston has a pretty large Metroplex too. I would tell them, if they're even evaluating coming to Texas, to really focus on the Dallas and the Austin markets and determine which of those markets, you know, is a better fit for them. There's a lot of companies that have been recently relocating or adding headquarter sites or just any remote sites as well to Austin in particular. You got Dell there, which has been there for years, and you got Tesla now, which opened a factory.
Yeah, that's right.
So Austin's got some great stuff going on, but I will say the traffic down there is ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, someone who went to school down there, the traffic now is just insane, right? Smaller airport, Chris. So for those people that are traveling for work frequently, they don't get, you know, you're not going to have a direct flight everywhere in the US, which is kind of a bummer, right? I know they have plans to expand the airport, you know, soon or in the future years, but right now it's just, in my opinion, not built out as a strong enough national economy center, we'll call it.
Like a class B type place instead of
class A. Yeah, but it's still nice. And then, but Dallas, I mean, if you're looking at Dallas, all I gotta say is you're looking in the right area, right? We are centrally located in the U.S. We are basically a 3-hour flight to either coast, right? Pretty much anywhere in the U.S. you can be to within about 3 hours. So it makes it extremely attractive for those road warriors and corporate executives that are always on the road. And then again, I'll say that state income tax policy, similar to Florida, really makes it an attractive place. You're going to save an extra about 10 to 15% on your income by moving to a state like Texas.
That doesn't have it. Yeah, that's true. Well, hopefully with the election results, we'll have a lot less taxes altogether. We'll certainly see. Florida has sales tax. We just don't have property taxes on vehicles, which is nice. And we have a lot of other benefits. But yeah, Texas, sales tax is no.
We have sales tax. We just don't have income.
Yeah. Got it. No income tax. That's huge. That's huge. Yeah. I was in Austin last year and it was busy. It was really busy. And it's a strange place because I guess.
Yes, it is. Oh.
Are you hearing me? Okay, I thought you said so. So I was in Austin, and they were like driving these neighborhoods, beautiful neighborhoods. People have boats out back and docks and these nice big, but there's no water, and the boats are like 60 feet in the air. And I was like, what's going on? And they were like, a drought, the lake's dried out. And I'm like, so this dude bought lakefront property, had a boat in the water, had a dock built, had the Army Corps of Engineers come out and see, and now there's no water. It just drained. He was like, I'm like, okay.
What lake, Lake Travis?
I have no idea. I was driving past it, and someone who was hosting me was like, I was just like, is that boat floating in the air over there, or is that me? And, that I take too much medicine. And he was like, no, there's definitely a big water shortage out there. So, the way that the media portrays Texas, you guys just have nothing but illegal immigrants running across the border, taking over everywhere, it's funny when they do these hosts, and when I host podcasts and talk to people around the world, they're like, nah, it's nothing like that. You can still come to LA. You can still come to Chicago. It's like everybody makes it seem like there's this just massive migration, but I guess that's not at all what's going on down there. So Dallas, Fort Worth, the biggest airport in Texas?
It is. It's the biggest airport in Texas. It's actually it's now the second largest airport in terms of number of flights they have per day in the U.S. Only Atlanta, if you can.
Really?
Yeah.
Where's Orlando? Orlando's got to be close. We're pretty big.
Orlando's a nice airport. It's not like on the national level. I mean, you've got O'Hare in Chicago, the extremely busy airport. Obviously. You got John F. Kennedy in New York, right? Miami is a huge hub, obviously, because it's gateway to the Caribbean. So, you have some mainstay staples across the U.S.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good way to market, too, is if you went after people, like business people that travel a lot, go on LinkedIn and find people who have high traveling jobs, and looking, hey, did you know that we have these properties available down here by one of the busiest, second biggest airport in. Because you could probably catch, 100, 200, 300 flights a day out of Dallas. Plus, it's probably a ridiculous number. I'm not, I'm not savvy on plane rides, but I've done a lot of them. I just don't know much about how you're at an airport.
Most people don't know, by the way. The only reason I know, to be honest, is because my dad was a corporate executive forever.
So how many are there? How many flights a day go out of an airport?
It's like 500.
500 a day.
Roughly now. And it's been that way for a while. And my dad, has literally 3 million miles on American alone. So he has racked up the miles. He's seen the whole world. I mean, he's been to like over 50 countries.
Oh, so, nice. I've got 47 under my belt, so I'm right behind him.
Yeah.
I got some time.
47 is a respectable number.
Yeah. I started early, in the military, that kind of thing. But
If you're including military deployments. Yeah.
Yeah. I lived in Japan for 3 years. So I was over there in the 90s, and it was crazy. Asia was fun. So I got to, because in Asia, if you're over there, it's just like being in Florida. You can hop around the Caribbean pretty easily. Over there, it's the same thing. Just Philippines, Thailand, et cetera, et cetera.
Did Bali, you meet samurais while you were there?
I did. Trained whatever their sword training is called. But I met a few of the mafia members, the big time, I can't go anymore because I'm all, and I have a Japanese sleeve, which is big time no bueno with the Yakuza. So
were believed in tattoos, no?
They do. But only for them. You're not allowed. You're not allowed to have them unless you're a part of their group. So, you can have tattoos. You just can't have sleeves. Yeah, can't be visible sleeves. So I don't know. Things probably have changed since 1999, but I don't even know what year it is. That's 25 years ago. Jeez, man. Where are you at? Dallas. Yeah, Dallas. So is it now better a time to be buying a home, or should people be waiting for after the first of the year?
Okay, so I get asked this question daily, and I'm sure you do. And my response is pretty consistent, and has been for the last couple months, which is right now there's been a softening in the market, to be honest, where there's higher inventory than there are sales going on. So when that occurs, it's more of a buyer's market. So right now it's slightly a buyer's market. But as we talked about earlier, if they do another interest rate cut or two next year, even end of this year, it's going to cause the market to get flooded with buyers again because they're going to think, oh, wow, I can get a better deal on interest rate. Now we're talking, now it's 6% or 5.5%, God forbid. Which honestly, I think if they slash it that low that quickly, that's going to be problematic for us in the future. But nonetheless, people are going to flood the market. So right now, my advice is try to get in something. If you're really serious about this, try to get in something by the end of the year. That's my recommendation to
I
people.
would agree too. I think it's a good time to be buying. It's a good time to be playing the, you know, I mean, anything you purchase or own or invest in is going to have some risk calculation to it, right? And most people get really hung up on these numbers, but the reality is that if you could pick up a home and own it instead of renting for 3 more months, 6 more months, 8 more months, then you don't throw that money away. So even if you paid a point higher on your interest rate, you're going to still save money long term. You know, people get kind of hung up on the, it's a quarter of a point. And I'm like, we're talking about $12, you know, like it's minuscule compared to what it appreciates at an average of what, 4%, 5% for the last 70 years, you know. So, I mean, as long as you're in that range, you know, and if you've got a mortgage under 4%, you're in great shape because you're borrowing money for free. But also, property taxes may be going away, right? Is that on the table too? Or is that just another one of those? I don't know. I've heard every tax is going away, so I don't know how that works.
I don't know about that one, to be honest. I haven't heard anything yet has said that they're going to do away with property taxes. I mean, the property taxes in Texas are actually pretty high compared to most people.
Are
That's
they?
the one
Let's.
area where they get you
We're
is
gonna.
they don't have the state income tax, but they charge a,
What's your millage rate for calculating your taxes? They're like 18, 20.
1.25% is pretty common. Places like South Lake, which are pretty wealthy suburbs, I'll say, are as high as 1.5%. I
Okay,
mean, and
so
if you think
yeah.
about that, on a the average home price in South Lake, for example, is 1.2 million right now. So if you think about
Wow.
that's a lot of money in
What's
property.
that buy you? What kind of property are you looking at for 1.2?
But probably a 4 bedroom, 3 bath, or maybe 3.5 bath. Under 4,000 square feet. So probably 3,000 to 4,000 square feet.
You got some property.
I do. Well, we're working on it. So working on a few places actually as investment properties for our portfolio.
Now they say there's a more tigers, Bengal tigers, I guess, in Texas than there are in the whole world combined.
Okay.
Do you ever see a tiger?
I've seen a tiger. I've seen a Bengal tiger. I've seen the
But they're
snow.
not like roaming around in Texas. I mean, that seems chaotic to me, but I don't know. I
I've
guess
never seen one roaming around, but I will say,
I'm.
having grown up in a at a home where we had 2 acres, which was it's pretty good sized, right? And there
Okay.
was a forest, basically like a forest that, behind the property. So we got all kinds of critters, coming and going as we grew up. And now it's funny because my parents have installed Nest cameras across the
So
whole
you can
home
see
and
them all.
outside. So they literally will look at, oh my God, look at the visitor that we had last night.
It's funny when you get retired, you know, you get to the point where you literally check your Nest cameras every day to see what happens. And you're like, what did you do today? Well, I checked my Nest cameras this morning. You won't believe it. A fox got into my bird bin. You know, and it's like, that's all we have to worry about when you're retired, you know? So it's like, people look forward to it. I'm like, hold on. There's
Just wait.
a lot of good value to working. So a lot of good value. So 1.25, that's our basically our middle of the road. What if you're a first time home buyer? There are a lot of programs out there for those guys.
There's some programs, down payment assistance, but they come at an expense. They usually have higher interest rates, so you're kind of foregoing one for the other. But there are some programs out there. I really lean on my, to be honest, I have a lending broker that I met a couple years ago, and he's just phenomenal. And he's super quick. Because sometimes you get a person that looks at a property and they love the property, but they're not pre-approved.
Right.
And then it's like if you take another week to pre-approve them, they lose that spark, that fire for the property. So one thing I've tried to do, especially in the last couple of years, is be super timely about the pre-approval. If they say they like the property, I'm trying to get them pre-approved that day.
Yeah, right? I think that makes sense. Why? How do you know? If you go shopping for groceries, you don't just figure out how much you're going to spend after you've shopped. You know what I mean? Like you know in advance what your budget is, so you don't go over. But people do it all the time in the home world. I'm like, you're looking at $500,000 homes, but you make $45,000 a year. I don't think that's going to work out unless you got a nest egg somewhere. So
yeah, and the debt to income ratio, I think it's kind of a joke, right? Like a 40% or 45% debt to income. Most underwriters are not underwriting, but I've seen some that are, and it's like, okay, so you're telling almost half of your paycheck, and this is in gross terms, is going to your mortgage, and you still got to pay taxes, you still got to pay everything else. Like, how does this exactly work out?
Yeah, you're like at half, which means I have half left to do everything else. Like that doesn't even make sense. Yeah, I agree with you. That's a strange thing they do, the debt to income ratio. Also, the way they qualify people, I'll never understand. I've been doing it since 2004.
Wow.
And I've been around a long time, 20 years.
You're not that old, Chris. Come on. Give yourself credit.
I'll be 47 next month.
Oh, wow.
I've got a 27-year-old kid.
Do you?
Yeah.
So, I would have never guessed that.
See, I was in the service in the 90s. That gives you some perspective, right? Like I'm showing my age, but I don't look it. I look nice and young and healthy, and that's what matters, right?
Yeah. And you got that nice raspy radio voice.
So. Yeah, the raspy radio voice. That's what we were talking about that earlier. So talking about Epic and all of the amazing features, and since you're one of my homies at Epic, because I'm with Epic too now, I love Epic. And if you guys don't know about Epic, tell me, let's do a little plug on Epic. Why don't you give us a little rundown of kind of why you switched over to Epic? I'd love to hear your side of things.
Epic is really positioned to be the prime agency it's basically built by brokers for brokers. Right, or built by agents for agents. You know, for the first time that I've seen, it's an organization that has really put in the investments for agent success. If you just look at the tools we have access to, it's pretty ridiculous. I mean, we have AI tools, we have obviously CRM access, you name it, and it expands far beyond that. The benefits are amazing. You've got great leadership, and then you have a rep share plan, so you can actually buy stock into the company. And I, you know, what I've heard anyway is that they're trying to go public in the next couple of years. So it's really a unique opportunity for people, because it's not like most agencies where you can just make a commission on the sale of a home. You can make money like 10 different ways at Epic.
Yeah, no, that's true. And they simplified the process, in my opinion. I mean, there's so many new things going on and changes that when I saw it, I was like, done, easy, no-brainer. You know what I mean? Nobody else offers pet care.
That's crazy. Now child care,
medical benefits, dental benefits. I mean, so good stuff. So for all you realtors out there that are looking to get on board with a 21st century real estate company, Epic is where it's at. Contact us then, or myself, and we'll get you involved. Anything else you'd like to tell us about the great state of Texas and Dallas area and what you focus on?
So, I mean, just to call out, I mean, there's great cities across the whole Metroplex. You just got to figure out what your budget range is, and there's likely a perfect neighborhood for you. And in Dallas, you know, what else? Great restaurants, believe it or not. We actually have great restaurants in Dallas. So a couple that I'll actually just mention is Joe T. Garcia's, which is in Fort Worth. For those of you familiar with Fort Worth, it's really been an iconic dining destination in Texas for over 100 years. Before, it was actually a Spanish house that they renovated and turned into a full-fledged restaurant. And they have this amazing garden, you know, in the back of it. And I've actually had the opportunity to eat back there. And it's absolutely spectacular, the way the lights are and just the privacy and the just the being a part of it in a garden.
Ambiance, yeah.
Yeah, the ambiance was just excellent. So
I'm sold. I want to go eat there now.
Yeah. The other one I would mention is the feed store in South Lake. South Lake's where I grew up, so I know a bit about it.
The feed store.
Yeah, it's feed store barbecues, what they're called.
Okay. So it's kind of like horse feed.
Well, so the backstory is that this place used to be a pet store in the 90s.
Okay.
So my family and I moved to South Lake in 1993. And in 93, when we moved there, it was a pet store. And that's where we went to go get our pet food and pet, you know, stuff, right? Hmm. And by 99, there was a lot of chains that were coming to town, pet store chains. So the owners smartly decided to pivot, and they turned it into a restaurant. And now it's, first of all, the food's amazing. But second of all, they've got the right marketing going on. So they're the exclusive food provider for the South Lake Carroll Dragons, which I will tout, 8-time state champions. So I'm pretty proud of that. We're actually tied for the most amount of state titles in the whole state. So
wow.
Midland Lee is the other one, but they're in a smaller division.
Yeah, we're not talking about them. We're talking about the big guys.
Yeah, big guys. So,
restaurants are good. Ambiance is good. Layout's good. Location's good. We got great travel. Price per square foot's reasonable. No income tax.
Yeah.
I mean, Justin's there. Do we need to sell anything else? I mean, I think we
got it all
right. We just get them in touch with you, right?
That's it, man. Just let me know, and I'll take good care of you. In all seriousness, though, Chris, it's a great place to be. It's a great place to build a family, to raise a family, because, again, the cost of living is still relatively low out here compared to some of the higher market areas. So and even if you're not looking to build a family out here, but you're someone that likes to travel, again, all the direct flights, not only across the U.S., but there's direct flights to many destinations overseas, right? You name it.
Yeah.
So straight I think it's a great place to settle on, you know, settle on.
Well, I love Florida, but otherwise you sold me. We don't need both of us there anyway, right? We need to be split up. So that way we have some space. So.
You need spread us out across
the country. That's right. Well, thank you, Justin. I know you're a busy guy, and I really appreciate you taking the time out today to talk to us. And we will promote all your stuff, get you in contact. If anybody's interested in reaching Justin, we're going to put a link down here. You guys click the link. You can go check out his page he put together, which has a lot of photos, videos, information. Justin is thorough, so you're going to get all the good stuff. And it's a good thing to have when you go to hire a realtor, and they're thorough. So detail oriented is key. So give Justin a shout. Make sure you go through our link. And Justin, thanks again. And we'll talk to you real soon.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Great being on here today.
Have a great day, bud. We'll see you.